Do either of you guys wear smartwatches?
No.
Do you?
I have a Fitbit, but it's like a very basic one.
Does it tell you to get off your butt and be more active?
No, it's never told me that.
Mine's super rude.
Is it?
It offends me every day. And it's even worse, like just right when the music started playing, I was sitting to my right about 6 inches because I was working on my stuff over here. And then I scooted back over so I could be in front of the mic and be on my computer over here. And it buzzed and I looked at it and it said, good job, way to stay active.
Really?
Yeah, I shuffled in the chair 6 inches. Is the bar that low? I'm a pretty active person.
Huh, that's interesting because I have that same watch and it always says, dang it, you are hot.
That's not what it says. It's probably taking your temperature.
Well, I assume that it meant physically, but you might be right now that I think about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't do it in the winter as much.
We should have had this conversation off air.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's strike this from the record.
Do you know who Theo Von is?
Only because of you guys.
What do you know about him?
I know that he's a podcaster. I don't even know that. I think he's a podcaster.
He's 44 years old. Born in 1980, I think he's an incredibly interesting dude, and I feel like I know him from somewhere. Like, I tried to, like, research him, and I'm like, did I go to college with him or something? Like, there's something about him that seems super relatable, and I've never really been able to place it, so maybe I just knew somebody like him. His name is Theodore Capitani von Kernatowski III.
Ah, number one and two were taken, huh?
That's the name you get that by not nature, but nurture makes you a funny person.
I don't know. Hans von Spakovsky is a name that really sticks too.
He's not a the third.
He's not a third.
He might be.
We don't know.
I think he's like, isn't he royalty somewhere or something?
I mean, I assume.
I mean, on the Annie Fry Show, obviously.
All right, clearly.
Theo is an American stand-up comedian, podcaster, actor, and formerly a former reality television personality. And his podcast, which I've watched many times, I watched a full Tucker Carlson podcast with him, which I think was over 2 hours. I watched the whole thing.
Is he that interesting?
Yes.
Does he have a mullet?
Yes.
Is he like just a bro?
Is this 20 questions?
No, this is just three.
Is he just a bro? What do you mean by that?
Does he come off as the everyman?
I feel like every friend group has a Theo Von, but he's the best Theo Von.
Okay.
Is that fair? You want to be around him. You want to hear what he says next.
Because, yeah, I know that guy.
Because he's...
What, I think I might be that guy. No?
When he speaks, first of all, he says things in situations that people don't normally say. And he says them in ways that people don't normally say them. But I'm going to play some clips here from this interview with Donald Trump. And it's from his YouTube channel. And I am imploring you to spend the hour to go watch the full video of his conversation with Trump. Because there are, you know, if Donald Trump came in here, which he's totally welcome to do, to have a conversation with us, I would handle myself in a particular kind of way.
Yeah.
Theo Von doesn't have that compulsion. He's Theo Von. And it's not bad, but it kind of like, I was leaning into it and being like, how's Donald Trump going to handle this? He calls him Donald. He calls him homie. He makes jokes throughout the course of he also has this gives off this aura of being nervous. It's almost like Zach Galifianakis in Between Two Ferns in a way, but it's for real and it's genuine. I'm pretty certain. And the conversation was great. We have some like our biggest fans on the Annie Fry Show who show up every day in the YouTube chat. They don't like Trump, but they love us and we love them and their help with the algorithm. They were slamming the Theo Von conversation with Trump. I hadn't brought it up. Maybe somebody else brought it up, but they were slamming it like, oh, what, more conversations with Donald Trump and Theo Von about cocaine use? Is that what the kind of conversation you want Kamala Harris to participate in? And it's like Kamala Harris was on, what was it, the Breakfast Club or something like that. bragging about, did you smoke weed? Yeah, I smoked weed. I inhaled. Like, oh, okay. Like,
oh, did you inhale?
Just, you know, seems important for you that we know that. Got it. In this interview, Theo Von, who has talked many times about having addiction problems, alcoholism, cocaine, like hardcore stuff, gone through some things. He talks about it. He's a podcaster. This is what people do on podcasts, is they are super open and genuine most of the time. Sometimes it's a ruse. And Donald Trump famously has never had a sip of alcohol, doesn't smoke, hasn't done drugs, doesn't have any experience with that. He's just a super clean guy in that realm. And so one of the things that were discussed there, you know, I find it interesting that we have a conversation about drug usage, alcohol abuse, something that every American knows somebody who struggles with this issue if they don't struggle with it themselves. It's incredibly common. And Donald Trump's attentiveness to Theo Von while he's talking about it, and also him talking about his brother, Fred, who he's talked multiple times. He said his brother was much older, struggled with these issues, mm-hmm. which, and his brother said, don't do it. Don't drink alcohol. Don't smoke. Don't do drugs. Don't do it. And Donald listened to Fred and didn't do it.
Yeah, Donald Trump, Don Jr. actually said it was one of the only things that his dad told him consistently. He goes, listen, whatever you're going to go out and do tonight when you're a teenager, 20s, whatever, don't do drugs and don't drink.
Yeah.
Have fun. Don't do drugs.
And I don't know, personally, I don't know if Donald Trump's kids abide by his prudeness on those issues, but Donald Trump certainly has.
Yeah.
So they're talking about these issues, and yes, there's Theo Von doing Theo Von things here, but Theo Von is actually talking to Donald Trump about issues that really do matter to Americans. And the thing that I find really interesting about it is Theo Von is asking about these issues the way if you went to your next kid's soccer game and counted to 10 people and took the 10th person, was like, you got to ask Donald Trump about what you know about opioids. This is what it would sound like, which I think is relatable. And humanizing to Donald Trump, which again is the most dangerous thing that could happen.
Alcoholism and addiction is something that's really ramped up, even like you're saying, like in the past 20, 30 years in our country, right? Yeah. And during the opioid epidemic, they estimate that like almost 600,000 people died.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even include the broken hearts and the deaths of families and circles of trust, just people that lost a brother. Didn't even include the actual the siblings,
right?
And so the ripple effect of that is huge.
So I'm going to interject here. What Theo Von just said there is legit, mm-hmm. and is ripping apart families across this country right now. The opioid problem and what it has done to the people that the addiction has ravaged and everybody attached to him—that's real. Pay attention, and the reason why I highlight this is pay attention to the lefties out there who just want you to think that the only part of any of this that happened is the pretty hilarious part coming up here where Theo Von takes a turn and talks about his own cocaine use. It's just his phrasing. It's the way he delivers the message. They're going to boil down this conversation with Theo Von to be something flippant that isn't serious, because they don't want you to look, again, what I talked about at the beginning of the show, the full context. Because there is substance here. You can watch the full context of the DNC. I've been doing it as much as I can. And they have no substance. They've got nothing. Theo Von has more substance in his conversation with Donald Trump here than the entire DNC put together.
There's that Sackler family that pretty much got away with it. You know, they had a financial slap on the wrist. But we're one of the only countries that allows drug advertisements and pharmaceutical companies to advertise on television. Like, what do you think are things that you can do to help curtail that when you get in office?
So, well, we did a great job. We had,
does that make sense or not?
Yes,
that question?
It okay. does make sense. And we had committees, blue ribbon committees in certain cases, but committees that would meet. The big problem we have is, you know, fentanyl is probably the biggest. Opioid is bad. Opioid is bad too.
Yeah.
I think that's bad because everyone thinks, you know, in many cases, they think they're going to do away with pain. And literally the time is so short. If you take it for like 2 weeks, you're almost addicted to it. It's incredible when you.
Oh, well, the whole. Yeah. All of that is horrible. But why do we allow that?
How did you get addicted? How did.
No, I would just do cocaine. That was really. Well, yeah. So not just. Yeah.
That's down and dirty, right?
Yeah, and this is, yeah, this, I mean, it was, yeah.
But you don't anymore?
No, I don't do it anymore, man, and I'm not doing
it. Is it too much? Too much to handle?
Some of the stuff started to get a real rattle in it, too. I don't know where we were even getting it from in this country, but yeah, it started to make me feel like I was a mechanic or something.
So the thing you go back to then is alcohol for the most part.
Right, yeah, but what I want probably is cocaine, but I know that if I have a drink, then it'll give me, it'll like be like, okay, well, I had a drink, then I can do this.
Is cocaine a stronger
up? Yeah.
Cocaine. So, you're way up with cocaine more than anything else you can think of.
Cocaine will turn you into a damn owl, homie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You'll be out on your own porch, you know? You'll be your own street lamp. You're freaking...
And is that a good feeling? Well,
no,
it's horrible. A miserable feeling.
But you do it anyway, just like the guy you're saying with the scotch. Like you knew it was bad, but you still.
So it's not even good during what would be normally the good time. In other words, oh, well. So why would you do it?
I wouldn't. That's why I don't.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But it's crazy because that's what alcoholism is, I think. It's that it trumps the why.
Yeah.
And you just go to, it's like, so that's why they say that it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. That's what they say about alcoholism. Yeah. And it is, it's.
Which is a bigger problem in our country, would you say?
Opioids.
Bigger than alcohol.
Oh, for sure. I think that's one of the biggest problems.
And like, compare that to fentanyl?
Oh yeah, well that's the problem is people are making fake opioids because they can't afford real ones or they're just getting them off the street and then they put fentanyl in them.
Yeah, fentanyl's like laced into everything now. It's horrible.
It's horrible, yeah. They found some in a baby rattle somewhere, I think. I don't even know where that was.
Oh man. When you pay attention to this, pay attention to the people who pull out of that Theo Von clip with Donald Trump, just the part where he says, when you do cocaine, you'll be out on your front porch like an owl or whatever he says. He says, you'll be your own street lamp. That's the clip. And Donald Trump is like, wow. They are trying to dumb down this conversation. They're doing this to Theo Von. And I, you know, Theo Von's a smart guy. I understand he seems super accessible, super down to earth. He knows what he's doing. He is a smart man. He is very much himself and true to himself in this conversation. But that was a good conversation about the opioid crisis. And when you listen to what happens in that conversation, it starts with Theo Von asking Donald Trump, what are you going to do about this? You know, we've got drug companies marketing to people. And then, you know, like, we're the only country who does that. You can think that's a problem. I think it's weird, honestly, that it always says, ask your doctor about ABCYZ, whatever it is. And I'm like, shouldn't my doctor be saying, you should do that? And then, of course, the doctor says, you should do that. And then your insurance says, no, you should do this. Yeah. That's a whole different problem. But what Theo Von does is he actually says, this is a problem. President Trump, if you get into office, what are you going to do about it? And they start to have this conversation. And Donald Trump starts asking Theo Von about Theo Von and something that is incredibly personal to Theo Von. And when Theo Von starts talking about it, he is wide open and honest about it. And then in that conversation, Donald Trump asks Theo Von, a cocaine addict who's in recovery, as he talked about in there, and an alcoholic, what do you think is the worst thing in this country? And Theo Von says, without pause, opioids. That seemed to be an answer that Donald Trump didn't initially expect. And instead of correcting Theo Von, he asks him a follow-up question and says, can you compare that to fentanyl? And then it turns out they're part of the same problem, that the opioid problem in our country is so big that fentanyl is being brought in to make fake opioids, fake narcotics or whatever it is that they're doing to try to get the same hit for less money. And this is part of the problem. And this is a conversation that came from Theo Von sitting down and Donald Trump listening and actually asking questions of Theo Von about his personal experience. But the rubes out there who the worst thing that could happen is you get context. The worst thing that could happen is you spend some of your own time moving a little bit beyond a 15-second clip of Theo Von talking about what it's like to be on cocaine, being an owl or a street lamp out on your own front porch. I mean, in passing, it's amusing because he's saying this in front of a former president of the United States and potentially a future president of the United States, that in and of itself is a moment in time. but it's dismissive of the whole conversation. And the, I just want you to know, I want you to find these people on your social media timeline and note who they are. Because when they talk about that, they are trying to deceive you. They think you're stupid enough to just take that little clip and dismiss the whole thing because you can't take this guy seriously. Look what he said in front of Donald Trump. But you can't take those people seriously because they know what the full conversation does and they don't want you to watch it. They don't want you to see Donald Trump talking to Theo Von, because watching Donald Trump and Theo Von have this conversation, honestly, on Theo Von's terms, humanizes Donald Trump.
So I hadn't heard that before. It's the first time I'd heard it. I didn't know what we were getting into there. Donald Trump tends to suck the oxygen out of a room. He eats up the time. So the interviewer asks him a question. He just goes and goes and goes and goes. There's nothing stopping.
No periods on any of his sentences.
Yeah. And it's kind of a strategy, but it's also just kind of what he does. What I found very fascinating about that is that we just talked about how Trump has not done drugs. He's always said he never did drugs. His kids say that's the number one thing he would tell us, don't do drugs. It seems pretty evident that the guy is not a drug user. He sits down with somebody who is, and he just starts asking questions. So I think that's interesting, and it's a character trait of Donald Trump that he does think he's the smartest guy in the room until all of a sudden he realizes this guy knows more than me. And then he stops, and then he asks questions.
And he learns.
And he learns. Mm-hmm.
That's what a wise person does. I want to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into Theo Von's conversation with Donald Trump around what happened to Joe Biden. And it is interesting. And at one point, Theo Von says, you know, what do you think? What do you think they did to Joe Biden? And Donald Trump says, I know what they did to him. And then they start talking about it. I'll bring you that highlight when we come back. Mark Theo Von on YouTube. It is well worth the watch. I will say this. It's probably not something you want to watch in front of impressionable eyes or ears. I mean, eyes doesn't matter, but ears. There's some language in there. We have to be careful what we play on the air here, of course, with you. But it is worth your attention. Check out the context and watch all of the people on the left squirm while Theo Von does a wonderful job of humanizing Donald Trump. Quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We've been speaking about the Theo Von Donald Trump interview, and I think that these interviews, this and like the with the Paul brothers and Aiden Ross, is that right? I don't know anything about him, but I know he's a big deal.
No, I don't know anything about any of these people.
All of these influencers are making me feel dated and a little bit older. Theo Von is our age, so I'm a little more familiar with him. But the influencer world, the podcaster world, has been embraced by the Trump campaign. And I think they're very smart to do that. They're going into areas that wouldn't traditionally, I don't know, talk about these issues. Maybe they talk about them, but you wouldn't think of them as like hotbeds for political commentary. But Donald Trump is sidestepping an agenda-driven media that hates him, lives and eats and sleeps and breathes to hate him. And it works, because if you go through, I was laying in bed last night reading the YouTube comments on this after I watched the video. And some of the things, especially one of the ones that is in this clip coming up here, when they're talking about what happened to Joe Biden and how he all of a sudden got out of the race. Theo Von, to me, is just very funny. And I think that the thing that is the most funny about him is that it's like, he just says things. He's compelled to say things out loud, and he doesn't really change his presentation in the presence of Trump. And there's something about it that I love, that he doesn't change it and that Donald Trump is there to endure it.
And Trump is good at just sitting down and talking with people. Elon Musk. I mean, we all listen to that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk is not a good interviewer.
No. No, he's not.
It was just a conversation. I wouldn't even call him an interviewer.
Well, I wish that when the next time they do a space like that, that they would have like a Megyn Kelly come in and do the interview and include like interview Musk and Trump at the same time, or pull in anybody that maybe it's an influencer that moderates the thing that's used to doing it. Pull in me.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. But I mean, just have somebody whose job it is to tee up questions so that you can get answers that the people want to hear.
Yeah. Elon Musk doesn't want to do that because he loves being that guy.
He doesn't need to.
He doesn't need to, but But Trump is at, and the, you know that Trump's succeeding when there's so little to criticize about him doing these things.
All right, let's listen to this is the Theo Von Donald Trump interview podcast. It's on Theo Von's YouTube page. I encourage you to watch the whole thing. You will be glad you did. And read the comments afterwards that are on the YouTube, and go subscribe to our channel while you're there as well. But this is Theo Von. They were talking a little bit about the debate. Donald Trump says confidently, he's like, I did pretty good in that debate. Joe Biden, not so much. That's how he says it. Donald Trump has just gotten done complimenting Jake Tapper and Dana Bash for doing a pretty fair job. And that's something that after the fact, we came on the next day and we're like, they did a good job. They did a fair and balanced job. Now, I think that they were trying to sink Joe Biden's ship the whole time, which is what happens when you're fair and balanced. I don't think it was tilted against Joe Biden at all. But Theo Von is talking about the debate, and then Theo kind of shifts into, you know, the debate happened, and then this was an about face. And he's talking to Donald Trump about what happened.
But they
next.
Were very even-handed, and it was a great debate, but a very important debate.
Well, after that, it seemed like suddenly everybody had been like, oh, Biden's fine. And America for like 18 months, like my dad was really old when I was born. My dad was 70 when I was born, right? So I don't like seeing senior citizens get taken advantage of, right? I felt like that happened a lot when I was a kid. And so I think for me, it reflected on me, like it made me really angry because I was like, I know this guy's not well. It's not fair to pretend that he's well.
Yeah.
It's not fair to him because he doesn't know you're pretending, you know? And it just seemed like the cruelest thing you could do. And then we're all kind of supposed to believe this thing that we know is not real. Our media is just saying this is real. And we're like, we're all just being gaslit as humans about something that's like moral. Like this is a human man. This is somebody's grandfather. And then they just disappear. He just disappears. And suddenly it's like,
it was a coup.
Kamala is the, is the one that went in. What do you think happened in the back rooms there? Cause that almost was overnight that happened.
I know what happened, and you're not supposed to do that. It's not supposed to be probably constitutional. She got no votes. He got 14 million votes. All of a sudden they're telling him to get out, or they threatened him.
But who were they when they say that?
And he is an angry person. Well, I would say Schumer, Pelosi, and numerous other people.
I'm going to interject here. Did you see the report recently? Did Donald Trump say something complimentary about Barack Obama?
Yeah, he said something about he's a, you know, he's a pretty even guy or something like that.
Like it was in this day and age, it was nice.
Yeah, especially for Trump.
Like he had the opportunity to say something about Barack Obama and didn't punch.
Yeah.
I think that he's specifically not calling out Barack Obama.
Certainly sounded like it there.
In this, he continues on. A little bit more.
The heads of the Democrat Party.
Yeah. Thugs.
And they did. They threatened him violently, I think. And he didn't want to get really out. Remember, he said, only God will get me out, right? Only God will get me.
Somebody dressed up like God and chased him out of there.
Yeah. And what happened is they went to him and they said, this was after the debate. Now, if he didn't have the debate, he would still be
running. Yeah. So they set him up. They knew they were going to pull him.
That I don't know. I mean,
so. That's the part I just can't get over where he's talking about Donald Trump is saying, and I mean, this is what I expected to happen the whole time. I'm not the only person who thought this. I'm not the only person who could see that they were going to use Joe Biden until he was used up. And when he was used up, they would discard him. And it would be very easy to do, especially like, you know, we talk about the hypocrisy of everything on the left. And I could go through, you name an issue, I can show you within the Democratic convention where they have contradicted themselves on these particular issues. What is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? What do they all say all the time about taxes? They want people to pay their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden's literal son did not pay any of his taxes and is in court in September because he didn't pay his taxes and is currently moving for a dismissal from that case because he said he eventually paid him. He paid for hookers and blow instead of paying his taxes. And this is what we're supposed to listen to the guy who's in charge right now and his vice president about paying your fair share. Again, going back to what I said before, you guys go first. You do it first. And then you can start coming to us and asking for us to participate in your version of this system. But it's never rules for thee that you want for me. It's always this is how it's going to be. Once you meet elitist status and you're on the other side of the elite line, you just get to play by a different set of rules. And then you set a victim mentality for everybody on the other side of the line. And you say, there are people who are on the elitist side of this line that you can never be like. And that's not fair. You are the people. Michelle Obama is talking about her mom, who I'm sure was a lovely woman, talking about her mom saying, you know, they looked suspiciously at people who took more than they need. She's got like seven homes that are all multi-million dollar homes. Did she get like $70 million or something for her book deal?
Yeah.
Hello, McFly. I can't make any sense of being somebody who could so boldly say to everybody on a stage full of all of your party people that my mom looked down on or looked suspiciously at people who took more than what they needed. This is not the American dream. I understand why you hate America in this current version of it, because the idea that American opportunity is limitless, that there's no government defined, here's the line of what you need, and here's where you went over it. They're telling us in plain words what they're going for. And in this conversation, last night, Kamala Harris was not in the arena. And Jackie Heinrich reported that it felt disrespectful to have Kamala Harris sitting in the arena while Joe Biden is back at the White House and the Obamas are on stage championing her, that it felt like it was a little traitorous for Kamala Harris to be sitting in there, you know, rah, rah, yay, finally something we can be hopeful for, while the Bidens are sitting rotting in the White House because the Democrat Party is done with them. So Kamala Harris went to a swing state and did a rally. That's a report from Jackie Heinrich, and that's what people are saying about it. The Bidens have to be so PO'd, so PO'd. Watching, Michelle Obama's initial speech, like, start out when she first started talking about it, she's like, you could start to feel something in the air, and we haven't felt it for a while, and that thing's called hope. Wow.
Really? No hope? That stinks.
Where has it been? As if the incumbency is the guy on the other side of the ticket. Oh, no, no, no. I shall say no again. No. The person on your ticket is in office right now. You get 3.5 years of credit for whatever is going on right now. Yes, even the emotions that people are and are not feeling, which includes hope. So if you want change this time, you got to vote for Trump. Let's hear a little bit more from Theo Von and Trump on the coup. So
Paula is the one that went in. What do you think happened in the back rooms there? Because that almost was overnight that happened.
I know what happened. And you're not supposed to do that. It's not supposed to be probably constitutional. She got no votes. He got 14 million votes. All of a sudden, they're telling him to get out, or they threatened him.
But who were they when they say that?
An angry person. Well, I would say Schumer, Pelosi, and numerous other people, the heads of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
And they did. They threatened him violently, I think. And he didn't want to get out. Remember, he said, only God will get me out, right? Only God will get me.
Somebody dressed up like God and just chased him out of there. Yeah.
You can imagine. Like, who would it be? Would it be Adam Schiff? Is it Pete Buttigieg?
Their idea of dressing up like God.
Like, is it John Fetterman?
Does it even look like dressing up in old Greek garments?
Yeah, so you're naming what? All these guys. They're Democrats. It would have been Nancy Pelosi.
God is a woman on the left. You know that. I don't think it's Nancy Pelosi. You need to have him be on wheels. So
yeah, you're
floats.
Gendering God by saying he.
Yes, I am. I'm not gendering him. The Bible is. Watch the whole Theo Von interview. You watch the whole Theo Von interview. I want you to watch it and tell me.
I mean, it's highly entertaining.
I want you to watch it, and then I just want you to just send me the quotes that made you laugh.
Okay.
Because individually, they're so funny. Theo Von had me cracking up. It's on his YouTube channel. Please go check it out, and happy we could share it with you today. Let's take a quick break. That YouTube live chat poll, we've got 267 votes in it so far. We want to know from you, especially if you're an RFK Jr. voter yourself, what are you going to do? Friday, RFK Jr. has said he's going to update us on the status of his campaign. Ryan pointed out Donald Trump has an Arizona rally on Friday. Do these things all come together? The poll for today is, how would an RFK Jr. partnership with Trump impact the election? Let us know what you think. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're glad you're here with us today. Who speaks tonight at the DNC? Clinton? Bill?
Good question.
Isn't tomorrow the end of it?
Yeah, tomorrow is Kamala. Oh, no, it's Tim Walz tonight.
And Bill.
Okay. Yeah, it's not just him, but I think he's the headline speaker tonight.
Dude looks old.
It's weird how quickly time has started to erode this campaign, because it hasn't been very much time.
I think it's very interesting that the people, the headliners for the Democrat Party are dynasties.
Yeah, they are.
They're political dynasties. Mm-hmm. Like, if when people are talking about, swampiness, the old soul of it. I mean, imagine if every person who spoke at the RNC was either a Bush or a Reagan.
Yeah, I was trying to think of any dynasties at the RNC. Trump's family itself
would
be the only one.
The dynasties at the RNC don't like Trump.
No, they don't.
So,
they're not there.
They're not at the RNC. George Bush should get his butt in line and endorse
Donald Trump. Yeah, come on, man.
Trump.
Put yourself aside.
And I say this as somebody who, I'm just trying to make sure everybody who listens to my show gets mad at me today. I really like George W. Bush, and I will always have an affection for him from 9/11. And I was 17 when that happened. So maybe I wasn't as smart as I should be, but there is a part of George W. Bush that I will always respect. But I will also say, be a patriot. Do what's right for your country and stop communism from showing up in the White House, mm-hmm. and endorse Trump and say, listen, I don't really love the guy. There are things about him that I vehemently disagree with. And he was an a-hole to my brother.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't like any of that stuff, but it is clear the direction that this country has to go in. We have two choices, and one of them will destroy the future of this nation. And it's not worth any amount of emotion that I have to stay on the sidelines. Donald Trump needs to be the next president. And then don't say anything else. Don't do interviews. Don't go out and talk to anyone.
And you don't even have to bash Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or Obama, because that's been Bush's thing. Is he's like, look, I don't want to get involved in bashing presidents, but your counterpart, Barack Obama, was the keynote speaker last night at the DNC. So it's not as if that's unprecedented now. It used to be, but it's not now.
Paul says George W. is considered a rhino, though, isn't he? And like, this is the type of toxic, Paul, a lot of people think this way, so I don't want to pick on you for saying this, but like, here I am on my own show saying two things at the same time, that I like George W. Bush. I have a favorable reflection of George W. Bush. That's going to make half of the people who listen to me very frustrated, maybe more. And in the same breath, I'm saying he needs to endorse Donald Trump. There's no tribalism here. There's what we think is best for the country. And I'm using my own brain and I'm coming up with my own perspective on the issue and being willing to say, if you dislike me now because I said something positive about George W. Bush, I will forever see him on that pile of rubble with the smoke billowing behind him and saying, we hear you. I will always remember that moment. And that moment in my emotion, in my mindset, is bigger than a lot of things that are detractors for him. He is not without faults. He made mistakes. He made bad decisions. He did things I wish he wouldn't have done. But I respect George W. Bush. He needs to endorse Donald Trump. And then, like, if you've got someone from the other side who comes in and been like, oh, but I thought George W. was a rhino. Like, I don't play those games. You can play those games. You can enter in that card and I will smack it down, because it just isn't how we do things here. And I don't think it's how most people talk. I think most people, most normies out there would be like, yeah, George W. Bush, you know, he said funny words. I like the way he rallied America after 9/11. And that's pretty much the extent of it. Then you can talk about wars and all that stuff and everybody departs to their corners. But it just, there's too much at stake to not step into the fray.
And it makes him seem oblivious to it. Like he really likes the sort of, hey, I'm part of the former president's club now, which is all Democrats and him. That's it. And so he shows up at all these events and he just looks kind of like he looks a little bit in it for George W. Bush right now because he can kind of skate. He can be cool now. Nobody's really criticizing him anymore. He won't step back into it. Dude, this is an opportunity for you to step back into it in a way exactly like Annie said. I like how I feel like I'm talking to George W. Bush. George, listen, level with me here.
You can
come up and just do a 5-minute economic talk about how the policies of Donald Trump really do work.
It could be 60 seconds. Whatever. Could pre-record it while you're painting a picture of Obama.
Yeah, and then sell the painting for more than Hunter Biden.
Yeah, there you go.
And launder it through 20 shell companies. Go ahead and take a pass on that. We don't have enough time.
The YouTube live chat poll, how would an RFK Jr. partnership with Trump impact the election? Is it going to help Trump, help Harris, or no impact? The news came in the middle of the show today that RFK Jr. is announcing an update. He's going to deliver an update on the state of his campaign on Friday. And Ryan, is that an evening Arizona event for Donald Trump rally?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, there's the Trump rally in Arizona on Friday. Maybe it'll be in partnership with that. There has been discussion rumors suggesting that RFK Jr. is in no way, no how going to jump into the Kamala Harris Democrat side of this race, that he would step out and partner with the Trump side. So our question to you, and we want to know, so you can go quick vote. I got like 60 seconds left here. How is this going to affect the race? Brad, what do you think?
I think it's going to help Trump. I don't think it's going to be like a huge boost, but he doesn't need a huge boost. He just needs a little boost for it to be impactful.
Yeah, I think this is a big help Trump. I don't think it's like half Kamala voters, half Trump voters, and then they're going to go their separate ways. I think we have a lot of people in the middle who just don't know where to go, and this gives them cover to say, okay, well, then I will go with Donald Trump because I was with RFK.
So you guys are both help Trump?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to help Trump. I think every single time someone goes, yeah, I know, but I'm with Trump. Every single time, the ground gets shakier on the left. Mm-hmm. And for the convention bump to have gotten Kamala Harris to where she is right now, it's not big enough.
No.
She's not likable. Her policies, if she spoke on them, she has spoken on them. We have her words on her policies. They are communistic-like policies. It's not good for the country. And if I encourage you to watch the Democrat convention tonight. I know. I get it. I understand. But watch. And you'll see. They got nothing. They got nothing at all. That actually, at the end of me watching all that, and then I watched Theo Vaughn talk to Trump, I'm like, I think we're going to win. We got to win big. Too big to rig, right? Well, we'll see if the RFK Jr. partnership with Trump does help him. We asked you and you voted. We almost got 300 votes. 6% of you think it's going to help Harris. 17% said no impact. 77% of you think an RFK Jr. partnership with Donald Trump will help Trump. We shall see. Mark Reardon, next. Marry the sweet. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're glad you're here with us today. Who speaks tonight at the DNC? Clinton? Bill?
Good question.
Isn't tomorrow the end of it?
Yeah, tomorrow's Kamala. Oh, no, it's Tim Walz tonight.
And Bill.
Okay. Yeah, it's not just him, but I think he's the headline speaker tonight.
Dude looks old.
It's weird how quickly time has started to erode this campaign because it hasn't been very much time.
I think it's very interesting that the people, the headliners for the Democrat Party are dynasties.
Yeah, they are.
They're political dynasties. Mm-hmm. Like, if when people are talking about, swampiness, the old soul of it. I mean, imagine if every person who spoke at the RNC was either a Bush or a Reagan.
Yeah, I was trying to think of any dynasties at the RNC. Trump's family itself
would
be the only one.
The dynasties at the RNC don't like Trump.
No, they don't.
So,
they're not there.
They're not at the RNC. George Bush should get his butt in line and endorse.
Yeah, come on, man.
Donald Trump.
Put yourself aside.
And I say this as somebody who, I'm just trying to make sure everybody who listens to my show gets mad at me today. I really like George W. Bush, and I will always have an affection for him. from 9/11. And I was 17 when that happened. So maybe I wasn't as smart as I should be, but there is a part of George W. Bush that I will always respect. But I will also say, be a patriot. Do what's right for your country and stop communism from showing up in the White House and endorse Trump and say, listen, I don't really love the guy. There are things about him that I vehemently disagree with. And he was an a-hole to my brother.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't like any of that stuff, but it is clear the direction that this country has to go in. We have two choices, and one of them will destroy the future of this nation. And it's not worth any amount of emotion that I have to stay on the sidelines. Donald Trump needs to be the next president. And then don't say anything else. Don't do interviews. Don't go out and talk to anyone.
And you don't even have to bash Kamala Harris or Joe Biden or Obama, because that's been Bush's thing. Is he's like, look, I don't want to get involved in bashing presidents. But your counterpart, Barack Obama, was the keynote speaker last night at the DNC. So it's not as if that's unprecedented now. It used to be, but it's not now.
Paul says George W. is considered a rhino, though, isn't he? And like, this is the type of toxic, you know, Paul, a lot of people think this way, so I don't want to pick on you for saying this. But like, here I am on my own show saying two things at the same time, that I like George W. Bush. I have a favorable reflection of George W. Bush. That's going to make half of the people who listen to me very frustrated, maybe more. And in the same breath, I'm saying he needs to endorse Donald Trump. There's no tribalism here. There's what we think is best for the country. And I'm using my own brain and I'm coming up with my own perspective on the issue and being willing to say, you can, if you dislike me now because I said something positive about George W. Bush, I will forever see him on that pile of rubble with the smoke billowing behind him and saying, we hear you. I will always remember that moment. And that moment in my emotion, in my mindset, is bigger than a lot of things that are detractors for him. He is not without faults. He made mistakes. He made bad decisions. He did things I wish he wouldn't have done. But I respect George W. Bush. He needs to endorse Donald Trump. And then, like, if you've got someone from the other side who comes in and been like, oh, but I thought George W. was a rhino. Like, I don't play those games. You can play those games. You can enter in that card, and I will smack it down because it just isn't how we do things here. And I don't think it's how most people talk. I think most people, most normies out there would be like, yeah, George W. Bush, you know, he said funny words. I like the way he rallied America after 9/11. And that's pretty much the extent of it. Then you can talk about wars and all that stuff and everybody departs to their corners. But it just, there's too much at stake to not step into the fray.
And it makes him seem oblivious to it. Like he really likes the sort of, hey, I'm part of the former president's club now, which is all Democrats and him. That's it. And so he shows up at all these events and he just looks kind of like, he looks a little bit in it for George W. Bush right now because he can kind of skate. He can be cool now. Nobody's really criticizing him anymore. He won't step back into it. Dude, this is an opportunity for you to step back into it. In a way, exactly like Annie said. I like how I feel like I'm talking to George W. Bush. George, listen, level with me here.
Got great strategy. You can come
up and just do a 5-minute economic talk about how the policies of Donald Trump really do work.
It could be 60 seconds. Whatever. Could pre-record it while you're painting a picture of Obama.
Yeah, and then sell the painting for more than Hunter Biden.
Yeah, there you go.
And launder it through 20 shell companies. Go ahead, take a pass on that. We don't have enough time.
The YouTube live chat poll, how would an RFK Jr. partnership with Trump impact the election? Is it going to help Trump, help Harris, or no impact? The news came in the middle of the show today that RFK Jr. is announcing an update. He's going to deliver an update on the state of his campaign on Friday. And Ryan, is that an evening Arizona event for Donald Trump rally?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, there's the Trump rally in Arizona on Friday. Maybe it'll be in partnership with that. There has been discussion, rumors suggesting that RFK Jr. is in no way, no how going to jump into the Kamala Harris Democrat side of this race, that he would step out and partner with the Trump side. So our question to you, and we want to know, so you can go quick vote. I got like 60 seconds left here. How is this going to affect the race? Brad, what do you think?
I think it's going to help Trump. I don't think it's going to be like a huge boost, but you don't need, he doesn't need a huge boost. He just needs a little boost for it to be impactful.
Yeah, I think this is a big help Trump. I don't think it's like half Kamala voters, half Trump voters, and then they're going to go their separate ways. I think we have a lot of people in the middle who just don't know where to go, and this gives them cover to say, okay, well, then I will go with Donald Trump because I was with RFK.
So you guys are both help Trump?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to help Trump. I think every single time someone goes, yeah, I know, but I'm with Trump. Every single time, the ground gets shakier on the left. Mm-hmm. And for the convention bump to have gotten Kamala Harris to where she is right now, it's not big enough.
No.
She's not likable. Her policies, if she spoke on them, she has spoken on them. We have her words on her policies. They are communistic-like policies. It's not good for the country. And if I encourage you to watch the Democrat convention tonight. I know. I get it. I understand. But watch. And you'll see. They got nothing. They got nothing at all. That actually, at the end of me watching all that, and then I watched Theo Von talk to Trump, I'm like, I think we're going to win. We got to win big. Too big to rig, right? Well, we'll see if the RFK Jr. partnership with Trump does help him. We asked you, and you voted. We almost got 300 votes. 6% of you think it's going to help Harris. 17% said no impact. 77% of you think an RFK Jr. partnership with Donald Trump will help Trump. We shall see. Mark Reardon, next.